Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The best Friday in the history of Fridays.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Jeremy Roenick. Who's the coolest person you ever golfed with?
Michael Jordan.
Did you gamble with Jordan on the course?
I got a good story. I don't know if I should tell on the radio. Back in the 90s, I get a call from Michael. Meet me at Sunset Ridge early. We're going to go play 18 holes. We didn't have a game. We had actually had a day off. We played around, beat him for a couple thousand, and I'm getting ready to leave. Now, Bulls are playing that night, so I'm thinking he's leaving. It's 10 o'clock. He's like, no, let's go play again.
His way is to befriend them, to soften them up, to try to make them feel like he cares about them, and then he goes out there and physically tries to destroy him.
So we fill up a bag full of ice and Coors Light, and we walk again. We roll around another 18, and I take him for another couple.
Well, I was very disappointed with the way I played last game.
Now we've been drinking all afternoon. Now he's getting going from Sunset Ridge to the stadium to play a game. And I'm like messing around. I'm like, I'm gonna call my bookie, and I'm gonna, all the money that you just lost to me, I'm putting on Cleveland tonight. He goes, I'll tell you what, I'll bet you that we win by 20 points and I have more than 40. I'm like, done.
Michael Jordan was a killer. It didn't matter. He wanted to come in and kill you.
Son of a gun goes out, scores 52 after 36 holes of golf and having like maybe 10 Bud Lights.
Stop.
Amazing, right?
That is an amazing story.
He gets 52 points.
Pippen gets it to Jordan. Michael challenges and slams. Michael Jordan, look at his tongue out over Alonzo Mourning.
Jordan will fire the three.
He's over the 50 mark. 52 big boys.
With 10 beers and 36 holes in them.
Hey, listen, after the first half, my money was gone.
We finished it here at the stadium in Chicago. It started out in a laugher.
So much was 36 holes of hard grinding.
That's incredible.
It's like a bionic guy. I play cards, play golf, play basketball.
Golf. 36 holes. I'm playing it tomorrow, too.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
Neil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Let's see if LeBron can do that.
Yeah, right?
Come on. Greatest of all time with your massage therapist and your load management.
And his wine.
And your wine and your nutrition. Play 36 holes of golf.
And your nutrition.
Bet four figures a side and then go drop 52 on Charlotte.
Yeah, the nutrition thing can be overrated, right?
I think so.
I haven't had a vegetable in at least 2 weeks and I feel great today. Maybe a month.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You allergic?
No, I just haven't bothered to make them. Yeah. I'll get some for Sunday, though, if you'd like.
I mean,
you're coming by, so
I'm coming by to the Mac Palace.
What's the right vegetable to go next to brisket, smoked ribs, and smoked chicken? What's it, beans?
Not a huge. I mean, whatever.
Do you like coleslaw? They have really good coleslaw. They have a spicy slaw.
Slaw's fine.
We'll just eat meat.
Yeah, meat.
Some fries or something.
We are carnivores.
Is there a potato option?
There's going to be a meat fest.
How many digits is the code to enter the gated community, and how long is your driveway? I'm just curious.
Well, that's the problem, Parkins. Allow 7 extra minutes to get through the actual gate because you have to have a background check. They have to run like an ID before they open it for you to get to Mac's house.
There's the shuttle that takes you.
I'm looking forward to my first experience.
Navigating through the moat can be quite treacherous.
It's awkward when they confiscate your phone.
Sure.
You're just going to no man's land because you can't communicate with the outside world when you go to Mackey land. It's crazy.
It's a very modest house.
Is your headdress still there?
Yes, from Kip Coco.
I left it there hoping to get invited back, and once I finally got invited back, then I can't make it Sunday. So.
Why, do you got something going on in your life?
Yes. What day is it?
Shep needs to start lactating to help out, to make his life a little bit better around the house. Yeah.
You got nipples, Greg.
Baby.
Keep trying.
Baby gets
up. 3 a.m. last night, I was ready to try anything.
So, Shep, tell people what happened to you this morning. Who gave you a little secondary wake-up call?
All right. So, yeah, I had some issues getting the baby to sleep throughout the night last night. Walked around the entire house trying to get little Peyton to fall asleep. And she'd fall asleep for like a minute or two. You're like, oh, I think I got it. I think I got it. And then just a, wah! So ended up staying up pretty much all damn night.
He does these impressions.
It's pretty close to her. And finally get to go to bed around 3:30, 3:45 last night. So I'm going on very little sleep. Get on the train this morning. I'm on my way in. All of a sudden, I don't remember what the heck happens. I wake up and we're in Ogilvy and I feel someone pulling on my arm. I'm like, wait, what's going on?
My son,
we've been here 5 minutes. It's a conductor telling me to get my ass off the train.
Don't call me son. I'm a father.
Man, so you fell asleep on the train.
Not just fell asleep. I was out.
Man, 5 minutes after reaching Ogilvy.
Yeah, he's like, we got to close these doors and get this thing out of here. Like, okay, sorry.
That's fatherhood.
Mumbled some words. I don't even know what I said.
You'll be fine. You'll get some sleep at some point.
Thanks for the confidence builder. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So not getting any help at all from Ashley right out of the chute, huh?
Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's clearly what's going on, yeah.
Well, step up, Ashley.
Yeah,
I think
right?
That's what Shep was saying.
Exactly. I mean, you only spend your entire day taking care of the kid. What the heck's more overnight to do it?
Yeah, something about get over yourself. Yeah.
There's
a lot of moms in the world. Something like that.
It's a great Hannibal Lecter line, but I'm going to keep it to myself. She's an employee here also. I don't want to wind up on the wrong end of an HR memo.
Top of the hour brought to you by
the line I'm thinking of.
Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Join the Chicago Wolves in honoring veterans and active duty military during the Military Appreciation Weekend games Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at Allstate Arena. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. So I guess there's a Bears game on Sunday, huh?
Well, here is the thing about the Bears that you find yourself, at least I do, in the position where you're a fan of a team, but you want there to be huge changes, and specifically the most important position on the field. So what you root for, if you're me, and I would root for this in any game because I love safeties, would be a 2-0 Bears final. If the Bears beat the Lions 2-0, that's the best case scenario for those of you, and you're probably about 95% based on text we receive here during the show, conversations I have with people who follow football. 95% of you would love to see the Bears go in another direction at quarterback. So you have to remove from the minds of Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, any inkling of any shred of hope that he might be able to run this. It has to be – just no evidence should exist after you play him these last 9 games, and if he plays well, there exists a possibility that they postpone his replacement. So that's why you have to root for their offense to continue to sputter.
I love the thought. I've certainly had it myself. It's kind of the suck for luck mentality, but without the prize at the end, because you don't have your first round pick and you're not that bad, right? You've already won 3 games. You have a really good defense. So it's the much more depressing version of it, because you're rooting against your quarterback for the good of your team without the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Correct.
Right. So it's a really tough place for a fan base to get itself to.
It is, but we already know that there's no pot of gold. We know there's no first round pick. Most of it is okay with the fact they got Khalil Mack instead of having a first round pick. Most of us not knocked out by the names of potential replacements for Trubisky next year. We've talked ad nauseum about these guys for several weeks now since he's been sputtering. So none of that is good, but I just remove all doubt.
Right, you're basically saying eliminate one problem, deal with the next problem when it's time.
Yeah, he's got to continue to prove that he ain't an NFL quarterback. And that's what you root for if you want him out of here.
Let me pose the devil's advocate to you here. Where are we with the percent chance that Mitch Trubisky can figure this out? If we're all at 0%, then what you're saying is the right way to go about it. If we say there is no chance that he figures it out, I'm not at 0. I'm at like 5%. I think there's a very small, I mean, that's 20-1, right? It's exceptionally unlikely. The best case scenario for the Bears is still, like, if Ryan Pace believes what you're saying, that there still is a chance for Mitch Trubisky, we should hope that he's right.
Don't you think he does feel that way?
I do.
I think that the head coach does too. Unless you know.
See, I don't know about the head coach.
Well,
I think the head coach has to defend him publicly because he's the coach and he has to speak into a microphone.
Yeah. The general manager who put his neck out there for this guy is going to hang on to any little bitty, any grains of hope. He's going to cling to them. That's why you hope for him not to repeat his performance against the Lions a year ago when he threw for 342 yards.
But
that'd be another thing. Well, look what he does against the Lions. We play them twice a year. He beats the Lions. He beats them. We got the Lions figured out. Okay, that's great.
I'm with you. I don't expect any of it to happen, but if he put 300 yards and two touchdowns up there against the Lions and then did it again against the Rams, and then did it again against the Giants, and then did it again against the Lions, that is the best-case scenario.
Fool's gold.
Fool's gold. I tend to agree.
We've seen enough. We know that. We know he doesn't have it.
Okay, but the problem with that is, man, obviously, again,
we need them to know. They need more evidence than we do.
I don't think this is going to be a problem because I don't think Trubisky's going to all of a sudden flip some switch and be great, right? So I'm with you. That is, again, exceptionally the most likely outcome here, but that just sends you in a direction of purgatory with your team.
That's correct.
It's not like that's a fun thing to root for because the next quarterback will be marginally better. The defense will get older, and then you're going to just be kicking the can down the road, and the next QB you invest in is not going to have nearly the pedigree of a second overall pick.
I confess completely, it's not something fun to root for, to hope your team wins because it scores on defense only, but that's where I am with this thing. And the defense is young enough to still be among the best defenses in the league for the next 2 years, maybe for the next 3 years, depending on good health. So that window remains open, but I don't want to see Trubisky play well again. I don't, and I'm not asking anybody else to look at the world through my eyes.
I completely get what you're saying.
Hands with me on this.
Not even for his parents that we went over yesterday. You don't want to see one more good game for him or more for them.
I feel so bad for his parents.
Mac and Bears fans hand in hand walk out on a raw deal.
Opting out on a raw deal. There you go, Rust Cole. C-O-H-L-E.
It's a Bears Friday today on the Score. Bears Friday brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Hey, the head coach of the Lions, Matt Patricia, he disagrees with you. He says, because I'm sure that there's no bias in this source, he says there's something here in Mitch Trubisky.
Just back to work. You know, on to Chicago. We got a really good Chicago team that we got to go there and we got to go play against. We know how dangerous they are. You know, in all three phases of the game, really, to be honest with you, they have great players and great plays in all three phases. So be a big challenge for us. We're going to work cut out, but that's what we do every single week. We go to work and try to get better and try to go out and give ourselves a chance to win. So for us, it's, you know, Trubisky. I mean, this guy, he's a good player. He's athletic. He's strong. He can get out of trouble. He can extend plays. He can scramble. He can run. He can throw. He's got deep balls. He's got great skill guys. So that's the major issue we have to deal with. He's a great player, and we got to start there.
Saluting major issue. That's what he saw last year when Mitch played against him, the one game he played. Daniel started the Thanksgiving Day game. Mitch Trubisky played in the other one, and that's what he saw. That's what he remembers. He's looked at the last four games, and he has to be laughing.
Do you guys remember anything about that Lions game? We hear so much about it this week.
I
have no recollection of the game ever being played.
Wasn't that the butt sack game?
I don't remember.
I remember Khalil Mack had a great moment in that game.
Yep, absolutely. I think that was
butt sack.
Yeah. Let's put butt sack on the playlist since Shep mentioned it.
Absolutely. We will play butt sack after Olin Kreutz.
Trubisky, he's a great player.
A great player.
No, he's not a great player. He had a really good game.
Want him here for years and years and years.
Do you think he just laughs once he leaves the podium and is back in privacy? I just lied to those guys. Lied through my teeth.
Lou Holtz had nothing on him. Man, Lou Holtz would be playing. Pick a service academy and Lou Holtz was going to tell you why they had players who were should be considered for Heisman Trophy.
He'd just do it with a lisp.
He would.
Well, I don't get they rain the head cold, but
sounds like Mitch Trubisky.
Who'd you rather have listening as a quarterback right now?
Oh, goodness. There are other problems on the Bears beside the quarterback, we've been told. Olin Kreutz will diagnose whether or not there's any hope of switching Cody Whitehair and James Daniels and what type of problems that fixes. Olin next on the Score. Olin will be at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport this Sunday for the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. Hub, Manley, and Olin from 9 until kickoff. Then it's Hub, Manley, and James Big Cat Williams. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. This segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Olin Kreutz with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. What's up, Olin?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, man, it's real good. Our advice to you would be take an appetite with you to Coombs Corner Sunday. He and his chef stopped by yesterday. They brought a ton. Do you like meatballs, Olin? I know they don't appear on your Thanksgiving Day plate, but a couple more weeks, you can ask him again. The food is absolutely stacked.
We are American on the island, but I will take my appetite to Coombs Corner, and I'm looking forward to it.
Screw you guys. I'm going home. Olin, it's an under-discussed story because, you know, coach and quarterback, but it seems like James Daniels and Cody Whitehair might be flipping positions. Is that something you would endorse?
No, I wouldn't. I hate the idea. I think James Daniels is coming along. I still think he's going to be a really good center. Obviously, the offense is playing terrible right now, so you can see why they would want to make some kind of switch to maybe the only thing I can think is to make Mitch Trubisky a little more comfortable back there. But if I'm a coach, and if I'm Mitch Trubisky, guys, and someone's going to basically lose their job because I can't get everybody on the right people myself, I take that personally myself, and I go in that room and I talk to Coach Nagy and say, look, this is on me. Like, I got to help out too, this young center, get people and everybody on the right guys. I'm not saying that James Daniels has played perfectly. He's made a lot of mistakes, but so has that whole offense. And if you watch the film, Cody Whitehair is doing a lot of the organizing sometimes. When they're out there, especially when you're on the road, like against the Eagles, and James's head is in between his legs for that silent count. So you can see why they're doing that, because they're panicking and their offense is playing terrible. But I don't like it. It's kind of like if someone just said, look, the ratings suck over there for you guys for the afternoon show. So it's not your fault, but we're just going to move you, Danny, to the morning show. You're going to feel like it's your fault anyway.
Change for change sake is what you're saying, basically.
Yeah. I can't even imagine that scenario, Olin. I don't even know what you're talking about. That would never happen around here.
Olin, give us some subtle things to look for from James Daniels. I'll watch him. I'll make the effort to watch him exclusively first half Sunday. What should I be noticing that you like about him?
I like that he reminds me of, you remember Nick Mangold?
Oh, sure.
And the Raiders center, Hudson. He's kind of a bigger center. He more plays along the line of scrimmage, but he makes one-on-one run blocks that there's maybe three or four centers in the league that can execute these one-on-one base by base. I mean, just you versus usually the toughest run stopper on the team that you're facing. You know, the center usually has to face the biggest, baddest guy on the other team that has to stop the run. So like this week, you'll see Snacks Harrison line up in there at nose guard, and James and him, if James is playing center, that will be a good matchup on rundowns. Now, the things that he is struggling with is he struggles with sometimes getting to the second level, his athleticism on the second level on linebackers, picking up games and stunts on third down. But some of that is attributed to Rashad Coward really struggling with picking up games. By games, I mean the tackles or the tackle will run outside and the end will loop inside. And you would expect a guy with only three NFL starts like Coward to struggle with something like that, especially against such a high-level D tackle as Fletcher Cox is. But, you know, you can watch him. The process when you come out of the huddle is, you know, you got to identify who the line's going to. By that, I mean you identify a linebacker, and it sets everybody's assignments. And not to totally bore the listeners, but those are some things that you can look for. And he has to be totally committed to that and not guessing and point the linebacker and get everybody moving in the right direction.
Olin, do the Bears have any offensive linemen who are good at run blocking?
Yep, James Daniels is very good at run blocking. Bobby Massey does a nice job. Cody Whitehair does a nice job, a little more athletic guard in there. And you see it now, Danny, and I understand the question, but you see it when they line up in that I formation, right? And they come downhill at people, and they usually gain some pretty good yards when they line up in that formation. So they're actually better at run blocking and coming off the ball and moving forward than they are at pass pro right now and sorting out games and sorting out stunts and sorting out who is coming. And a lot of that will fall when you really, because I knew that this question about James Daniels was coming, so I went back and watched James the whole year. And I couldn't understand moving him except for the fact that you're trying to make Mitch comfortable. A lot of that is coming from the quarterback. A lot of that is coming from the quarterback organizing things. Like, if you think about the second play of the Philadelphia Eagles game when they lose 4 yards, they motion J.P. Holtz in, and they're thinking about running one play, and Mitch checks to another play and really doesn't give James Daniels the time to re-identify who he's going to. Fletcher Cox, because the film study has realized that every time the Bears check a play, they go on one right after the check. So he jumps the count. No one has a chance to block Fletcher Cox when he jumps and knows the snap count. Coward slips and misses him because he's in a backfield already. Drives Massey 4 yards back. So right there, the quarterback's got to help slow down a little bit, understand everybody's assignment, and get everybody moving in the right direction.
When they ran I formation 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, very effective, and I thought J.P. Holtz had a good game. I don't feel the same way about how he played against the Eagles, and there was one or two play, one in particular, where he was still in his three-point well after the ball was snapped. I don't know if you caught that, Olin, but I just wonder if too much motion and just too much – just let him line up, put his hand on the ground, and fire out instead of always running motion and running this and run. Simplify it a little bit.
Yeah, the same thing we've all been saying. And the thing that's really frustrating when you go back and say, watch Mitch Trubisky play against the Lions last year, is just how different of a quarterback and an offense they were last year and how much better everybody was playing and how much more comfortable Mitch was in the pocket. But he's obviously struggling right now, like you're saying. The whole offense is struggling, whether it be Trey Burton, whether it be Adam Shaheen trying to run block the defense end, whether it be J.P. Holtz, I got his stands, whether it be James Daniels getting run over by Fletcher Cox on the first third down of the game. But look, I would tell James Daniels that I was in Champaign, Illinois, and Richard Seymour ran me over in a game. And that's when you just start to learn that, look, maybe this technique and fundamentals everybody's talking about is really important. So, yes, like we're talking about the I formation, the boot plays 2 weeks in a row, right? They hit Robinson for 31 yards out of the I max protection, throw it up. And then they come back finally in the second half versus the Eagles, and they max protect, and they do a little half boot, and they throw it to Taylor Gabriel. Why does it take so long to get to that? The offensive line really struggled in the first half, like I put in my tweet, but they didn't get any help from the game plan, any help from the play caller. It is not a good idea to leave Coward one-on-one with Fletcher Cox. I knew that going into the game. Why would you leave him there?
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Wolves game? Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are winners. We are the Wolves. Olin, what percent chance do you think Mitch Trubisky is salvageable? And I will define salvageable by, we will want him to be the quarterback of the future of the Bears. What percent chance is there of that happening?
It's a great question. I mean, I'll put it at, just from watching Mitch for 2 years, and like we were all excited about him coming into this year, obviously, because he had a pretty good year last year, right, Danny? I mean, when you watch him and some things he does in games, he's got the physical tools. He's got the arm. But, you know, right now you're at about a 50% chance, right? Just, is he going to come out of this? I mean, look, what happens when there's bad quarterback play in an NFL building, people start to lose their jobs. So the center, for whatever reason, if he's not starting at center this week, which is the rumors, for whatever reason, if he's not there, he just lost his job. I don't care if you put him at left guard. I don't care if he stays still on the field. He just lost his job basically because Cody Whitehair makes Mitch feel more comfortable by making all the calls. So that's the first guy to go. So that tells you that the quarterback play is bad. They have to try to score early in the game. If you take out the Redskins game where they had three touchdowns, I think, in the first half, and you take out Cordarrelle Patterson's kickoff return and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix's interception for a touchdown, they've only scored field goals in the first half of every game. I think they're averaging 6.5 points a game when Mitch starts in the first half. If you take out those other touchdowns, they're averaging 3.6 points a game in the first half. That's almost incredible with all the guys they have, with Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Tariq Cohen, Miller, Burton, Mitch Trubisky, Montgomery. It's almost impossible, and it has to speak to maybe the coaches have to take a very good look at themselves in the mirror and what are we calling to get this offense moving.
I had to go to the Google machine to see if that game against the Lions last year actually happened, and it did. The 1 year anniversary is coming up on Tuesday. The big 34-22 win over the Lions. The Bears erupted for 26 first half points in that win. Trubisky 23 out of 30 for 355, three touchdowns and no picks. Let's live in that time. Olin, when Trubisky says this week, "I want the TVs off," so the negativity isn't reinforced. How does that play with teammates?
I think in that building right now, I think they're at the point, like when I played on really bad teams, you're at a point where you don't really listen to anything anybody is saying anymore, and they just got to prove it. And I know for a fact, because if you watch film or even the TV copy, that it's not the way Mitch is not playing well with his teammates. Because you can see the reaction after plays with wide receivers throwing their hands up, people walking off the field with their head down, like, I was wide open there. Why is he not throwing me the ball? Tariq Cohen and Mitch Trubisky rolling out Tariq Cohen. I think it was a San Diego game. I think it was he ran out of bounds and he was wide open for a while and he looked frustrated. The sideline looks frustrated. They all don't know what to do. So Mitch Trubisky's play more than anything is what's not playing well in that locker room. And he's got to come out here and he's got to win his teammates' confidence back. He got to win his coach's confidence back, and his coaches got to help him out. And Coach Nagy's got to win his team's confidence back too, because a lot of decisions he's been making have not been good ones. And, this center decision, just to me, it just falls in line with a lot of the other decisions that we've been watching this year, like coming out of the bye week, saying that you got to fix your run game, only running it seven times, and the first play you're going to give it to Tariq Cohen and run him up the middle and inside zone, and then you're going to flip an option and they're going to get a fumble to Miller. It's just a lot of stuff just doesn't make sense to me this year. So just kind of watching where all of this stuff is headed.
Great stuff. Olin will be at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in
Lockport today. Yeah, bringing the heat.
Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show and then the postgame show. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Thanks, O.
Thanks, Olin.
I appreciate it, guys.
See you, man. Have a good weekend.
That was very manly what you did, bringing the heat.
Yeah, he was, though, wasn't he?
It was very strong.
Not happy about the possibility of a switch with center and left guard.
This segment brought to you by Amazon. Holiday hiring at Amazon starts now. Earn up to $16 an hour. No resume, no previous experience required. Choose from a variety of shifts. Find your opportunity at Amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Knock on wood if you're with me. The Oakland Raiders are 5-4, baby.
Yeah, I will admit to being wrong about something again. I know you all enjoy that very much. We'll do that. And then Badger from Breaking Bad in studio at 3 on the score.
Knock on wood if you're with me. I don't have a disco in here. I don't have a disco. Well, let's all start dancing.
Yeah! Raiders beat the Chargers last night. 26-24. Exciting game.
The autumn wind is a pirate. Indeed. A Raider. Yeah, I thought it was a terrific football game. We've had some good ones. There's a lot of bitching and moaning going on these last few years. Bad games on Thursday night football, but that was a good one last night. I thought both starting running backs put on a terrific show. That kid, Eric Harris, the Raiders safety, It takes him a little while to run with the football after he intercepts it, but he did get in the end zone on one of his two picks last night. Great story about this cat, a Division II walk-on who had to play in Canada. Nobody, and he doesn't run very well, so I understand why he'd have a tough time convincing pro people that he's an NFL talent, but smart sometimes win out, and it was a great win for the Raiders. They're very much alive, Danny Parkins.
They are. I mean, there's a real chance that a 9-7 AFC team makes the playoffs, so they've got as good a shot as a lot of teams to get it. I was wrong about John Gruden and the Raiders, and I will say also, likable John Gruden? Like, hanging out in the black hole, running around, high-fiving
everybody. Kissing
ladies
with face paints. Yes, yeah. That was my favorite part of the night. Well, winning the $100 on the Raiders, getting a point and a half was great. But, yeah, I think that was great when he's smacking skin with all the goofballs who go to those games.
But I am a not really. I just big fans.
The NFL could just use more of that.
I've always been a Gruden fan. Welcome on board, Danny. Never too late.
I guess. I mean, it was... That was a likable moment.
If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with.
The team doesn't seem nearly as incompetent as I thought they were going to, and that was fun.
They've got a good rookie running back in Joshua Jacobs, and that's a big, mean offensive line.
Yep.
And a lot of people were thinking the game has passed John Gruden by. It all comes down to blocking and tackling. You can have 800 plays in your playbook. You can run all kinds of variations of motions and, you know, way you're setting formations. You block and tackle, you can succeed at any level.
Can't argue with it. Are you picking them to make the playoffs in the AFC?
I don't know if I'm that far yet.
Okay,
It's not like they have to, you know, crush a lot of really formidable teams. The NFC is where it's tough for those teams just a game or so above 500 to get into the playoffs because there's a bunch of them like that.
I'm with you. The NFC much tougher than the AFC. So Tanny is going to come in and take your chair for the next segment.
Yes, deferential is how I like to be.
That's right.
And radio has a power chair.
You can't have that.
I'm not giving up the power chair.
You got Mike too.
Yeah, but Tanny's going to come sit in Mac's spot because we are both huge Breaking Bad fans, and we both loved El Camino. And Matt Jones, who's a Bears fan and played Badger in Breaking Bad, is going to come in and tell us some stories and talk about his new movie, Turkey Bowl, which looks funny. It's a Thanksgiving movie. And we're going to talk Bears and Breaking Bad and Turkey Bowl with Badger from Breaking Bad next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.